Would see me on this motorcycle and naturally slow down to take a longer look. It was so much more fun riding it than hearing it read back to me. And so he thought that's...
So Sheriff Chip Simmons at the PACE Awards, when he was receiving his Community Leader of the Year award, made a comment about how he thought it'd be funny to tell his duty sergeant, I think it was at the time, that he ought to be transferred to the motor pool and ride the motorcycle because, you know, he would look good on a motorcycle. And that letter apparently wound up in the wrong hands and eventually wound up in him having to explain that the second part of the letter was because people would probably slow down to look at him because he looks so good. Now, Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
That was so entertaining.
PACE award-winning Chip Simmons.
Right. So was that the problem when you were heading here this morning on I-10? Is that people were slowed down to stop to look at you while you were driving through the heavy traffic? Was that
people were slowed down, but it wasn't because of me.
just want to check and make sure. No. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back.
I do think that we need to make sure everyone understands. I was a rookie policeman trying to make a joke on my sergeant and put that letter in, and then he was off the next day.
And the letter missed him.
All the way up to the right people, and it was clearly a joke.
It was definitely a joke, very entertaining, certainly a fun moment, you know, nobody wanted to follow you at the PACE Awards. That's because you won the show. All right, on to more serious things. We do have the tonight, we've got the meeting, what is this, the third one for the round table?
The third round table, yeah.
All right, so tell people what to expect tonight at Brownsville.
Well, as I've been telling people before, the first round table was just to get the politicians, you know, to light a fire under us all and say, hey, what can we do to address this issue? And then we had another one where we had a lot of citizen input and a lot of people talking about programs and that sort of thing. And so then we earmarked a specific geographical area. And in this case, it's around the Brownsville area. That's where we've been meeting. It's split between the city and the county. And so we're going to use that area, and tonight we're going to discuss what we can all do. You know, at the sheriff's office, we're going to do some warrant sweeps and some more patrols.
What is that, a warrant sweep? When people don't know,
there are people that we have information that maybe they already have warrants on them that are wanted, and we're going to concentrate on seeing which ones of those are in that immediate area. We're constantly looking for people to arrest, but some of the ones that we can't get right away, you know, may fall to the back burner, and they get on what we call the wheel. You know, mm-hmm. So if someone stops them, then obviously they'll go to jail. But that's the law enforcement part of things. You know, we're not going to go in there and just, you know, stop everyone. But what we are going to do is if someone has a warrant, then we're going to go by our house and pick them up. The thought there is to get the people that are committing the crimes out of that area. And then we talk to the Florida Power and Light, talking about lighting. We're talking to the school district about bus stop safety, all that sort of thing. And that's
trash pickup.
I mean, picking up trash and just making the place look a little better so that hopefully it's the broken window thing. If things are cleaned up, you want to keep it cleaned up. And the hope here is that we will have some sort of a template to go by and to take it from this area to other areas and say, okay, now that we know what we can all do, let's try to take it to somewhere else. I think.
And by the way, I know most people know this, mm-hmm. but the broken window theory came out of New York, where the idea was if you have a neighborhood with a lot of broken windows, nobody thinks anything about minor crime because that's the kind of neighborhood where you commit these crimes. On the other hand, if you force shop owners basically and, you know, warehouse owners to fix the windows – and then to, you know, remedy the graffiti, and then you get the squeegee men off the streets, you know, kind of stuff that was plaguing New York. The idea is you create an environment in which it's not a fit for people to commit petty and or more serious crimes, and they have less of those crimes. And so cleaning up the neighborhood, cleaning up the trash, getting rid of the difficult people, all lighting, all of that stuff contributes to a social environment within which crime is not normal, and that's the goal, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And you know, I know some people love the theory and they think that everyone should do it. And
sure.
Some people think, oh, that's an antiquated type of theory.
Sure.
But there's some truth to the fact. If you have a piece of trash in your hand and you look around and there's no trash on the ground, you'll probably find a receptacle. But if there's trash everywhere, you know, your one added piece of trash is not going to make that much of a difference. There's also a sense of pride in a community that is nicer. And it's you know, this is our community. It's clean. And let's all get together and make sure that our area is not just clean, but also safe of crime.
And that really is what you're trying to accomplish is, you know, anything you can do to make an area safer. And the theory is, well, let's do everything. And then maybe we won't know which piece was the key piece, but if we're doing everything and we get results, great.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, I talk a lot about, you know, the cause of homicides, and I talk about probably two-thirds of those are drug-related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone's being ripped off from drugs, someone's stealing drugs, whatever is happening there with the drugs. And the other one-third is domestic. This year we've had more domestic than we typically have. Now, is this geographical area and these roundtables going to stop domestic violence homicides? I don't know. I think the stats will prove that what we're doing to pick up trash may not stop a domestic violence type of homicide. But what we are doing something. We are doing what we as a government, as a sheriff's office, as a police department, what we can do. And then again, like I said, we can take a look at this worked and that worked. Let's try this other things. Now, I have not lost sight of the fact that most of the people that come up and talk, they talk about programs. They talk about something for these young people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of what we're talking about is, okay, religious community, do you have a program? Do you have something that can help in this regard? So we're going to continue to talk about those things, but we do want to have this area, and it's going to be for a defined period of time, about 2 months long. We're going to move one of our movie nights to the Brownsville area at the end of this thing,
uh-huh.
You know, just to show, hey, this, you know, hopefully a celebration and maybe you know, talk a little bit more about what can be done from that point on.
And in my mind, it's really, it's not the same as, but it's sort of a parallel concept to like a Big Brother's. Like, we're just going to take a neighborhood and we're going to do what we can do to serve it and be a benefit to it. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Let's get a traffic on the fives from Candy real quick.
It's still backed up. This is I-10 eastbound at mile marker 8, and it's just somebody on the side of the road. So it's going 25 miles per hour, very, very slow. It almost looks like a parking lot, but pack your patience, I guess. Eastbound backed up almost to exit 5 from about mile marker 8. Highway 98 still backed up eastbound as well in Navarre at Heritage Parkway and backed up to the Navarre Beach Causeway. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. We, of course, had a couple of incidents last week. Want to talk a little bit about these. One was an attempted murder, a stabbing, maybe Friday or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, we arrested. Actually,
or is it farther
the
back?
Murder happened. We arrested him yesterday morning.
Oh, okay, all right.
On Sunday night, 43-year-old Patrick Henderson was arrested for stabbing a woman multiple times. And while he was stabbing her, according to her, he said that he was going to kill her. And again, he stabbed her multiple times. But our deputies, let me just say again how great a job that they've done. So all Sunday night they were looking for this guy because he tried to kill this woman. And they finally was able to capture him early the next morning. There's a photograph of him on our social media Facebook page. So if you want to take a look at what attempted murderer looks like, take a look at that picture and also get a little glimpse of some of the deputies that did that good job I was referring to.
We also had in Bristol Park this robbery at gunpoint. Was this the one where they gave him a ride and then, yeah, okay, go ahead.
They were standing at a motel and someone said, hey, I'll give you a ride downtown. I think it's McGuire's. They weren't
going
to apply for a job. And instead of taking him to McGuire's, they took him to the Bristol Park area. And then 3 to 4 males, according to him, ended up robbing him. And we did end up arresting we arrested a guy named Carr and Culver, and both of them are in jail under $150,000 bond. So, again, it's just there's got to be something, you know, that would give you an idea. Hey, we're going the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Let's try to
right.
stop this thing as it is. I talk to people a lot and I say, well, don't go peacefully. You know, if you're gonna have, and I don't want to victim blame. I just want to say, you know, someone, one or two males say, hey, I'll take you to McGuire's, And it looks like it's a little shady. It probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of my point there.
You know, one of the things we've been talking a lot about today is the signing of the law yesterday by Governor DeSantis for a permitless concealed carry. And, you know, you and I talk a lot about concealed carry, about the law, about where you can and can't and the value and all of that. But starting July 1st, you know, permitless, which would mean people don't have to pay to get the ID. It's still only for people who are would be eligible to get a permit, are the only ones who are able to. And you still cannot carry it in a whole bunch of places, including schools or, you know, courts or, you know, the meetings of the legislature, et cetera. But from your point of view, this would also mean people don't have to go through any training. They don't have to go through any legal training or, you know, gun competency or anything like that anymore. Not that the standards are high right now, but they wouldn't have to have any of that. Chip, your thoughts on having citizens with, you know, basically no barrier to entry now to concealed carry when they want to?
Well, I mean, I would support a law-abiding citizen's right to keep and bear arms. I would like to have that freedom myself, and I would support that. But I also would recommend and highly encourage people to be familiar with the guns or the weapons that they choose to carry, not just the guns themselves, but how they carry them. Having been a law enforcement officer for a number of years, I know it sounds cool to pack the heat and do that sort of thing, but I can tell you that it's you need to make sure that it is secure. You can't just stick it in your waistband. You can't just stick it in your boot and expect for it to stay there. And I think what you said is very important. There are a lot of places that you still can't carry a concealed weapon, including businesses that say no concealed weapon. Now, how they know, I don't know that. But I do, however, support the fact that we should be able to carry if we so choose. It's our constitutional right, and I will support that. We have had probably four justifiable homicides in Escambia County last year, if I remember correctly. And those are because the individuals were either carrying concealed or they had a weapon in their home for their own protection. I like the idea of a bad guy not knowing who has a weapon to protect themselves. And to me, that's a bit of a deterrent.
Would it be fair to say, and feel free to disagree with me because that's why I ask you, you're the expert. In your opinion, are criminals who are going to use armed force to commit a felony, would they rather, does it matter to them, their perception that somebody might be armed or not?
I think it does. I think we talk a lot about different crimes and how to prevent different crimes. And I tell the groups that I talk to that put yourself in their mindset for a second. Who would be a vulnerable home to burglarize? One without lights and one with, you know, we talk a little bit about back whenever TVs were very popular. If you put a box for a brand new, you know, big screen TV out in the front yard, someone knows you have that television, you know, mm-hmm. in your house. So I would think that a bad guy would think twice about going up against someone that can defend themselves. Now, again, I want to really encourage that people to understand that, you know, that if you have a gun, someone can also take that gun from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had to be very careful about that. But I know that during our conversation with some of these bad guys, they're not as prone to try to victimize someone that's not defenseless, and that makes me smile.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And I also very much appreciate the encouragement to people to carry safely because, you know, the difference between sticking it in your belt versus sticking it in a concealed carry holster in your belt, vast difference in both safety to you, safety to other people, and access to the gun under the wrong circumstances where you need to have access to it. So all very good notes. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for braving the traffic this morning and not distracting too many people as you were coming in this morning. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week.
Y'all take care.
All right.